Well, this morning's Bible reading commences in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And this follows on directly after Jesus' teaching in parables on the nature of the kingdom of God. So Mark 4, commencing at verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also others in the boat with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. It's been interesting observing a few harried men with young children this morning turning up to church. I noticed one, I don't think he's here. He was bustling the kids in and no shoelaces done up and clothes untucked, but at least they were here, all right? Just coping without mum around. Let me pray, and it would be good to reflect on these words in Mark's gospel. Our gracious God, thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for the opportunity many of the women of our church have this weekend to reflect on your word and to enjoy fellowship with each other. And for us, as we do that, we just pray for that work of your spirit in our lives, in our hearts, not only helping us to understand, but to really be changed as we encounter you and your word today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some years ago, King's College London conducted a survey and produced a report. It was the first of its kind. It was rather ominously called the Global Index of Fear. It was a report into, an investigation into, the kind of the common fears and anxieties that people experience in their daily lives. And it was based on survey data collected from 7,000 people across 8 countries, including Australia. It was a very large survey. And it found, probably unsurprisingly, that global warming, terrorism, and economic uncertainty ranked the highest among people's fears, closely followed by things like pollution and overpopulation. And interestingly, in Australia, cancer featured as one of Australians' greatest fears. I suppose it's linked to a common fear, and that's a fear of death. Well, if you were to add to that some of the other common fears that people have, things like fear of failure, fear of loneliness, loss of independence, crime, and so forth, you begin to realise that life offers up a whole smorgasbord of things to be afraid of, right? Sorry to be, you know, start with a downer, right? And to focus your minds on that kind of thing. But really, when you think about it, there is a lot in life that is potentially to be fearful of. So what about you? What are you fearful of? What are you afraid of? Do you have a common phobia, or maybe there's something else that you're afraid of? And perhaps more importantly than that, how do you actually deal with your fears? When you experience fear, what do you do with it? How do you deal with your fear? For some people, fear can be a very powerful thing. We know this. It can overpower some people, and it can have a significant, even debilitating effect on some people's lives. Others go the other way. They refuse to let their fears master them, and so they face their fears head on. So if you're afraid of flying, you go and do the Qantas Fearless Flyers course, right? Yeah. If you're afraid of heights, what do? You go and book a bridge climb, right? And you stare fear in the face. So you overcome your fears that way. Most of us, I guess, are somewhere in between those two things. We kind of our daily lives fears, don't we? We tend to accommodate our fears in the midst of our daily lives. Or perhaps we just avoid the situations that give rise to them. So if we're afraid of confined spaces, we tend to take the stairs, not the lift. Yeah? Some people here like that? Maybe. Maybe if it's intimacy that we're afraid of, we tend to avoid developing deep relationships. If we're afraid of rejection, then perhaps we just try to please everyone. That's another way in which we try to deal with our fears. Well, dealing with fear is an important theme in our passage today. We've only read half of the passage that we're dealing with today. We're going to really look at 4 encounters that Jesus has with various people in this part of Mark's gospel, where fear is a feature of each one. It's a theme woven through the fabric of this text. So we've got the disciples in the boat in verses 40 and following, some people who lived near a demon-possessed man in chapter 5, a woman with a terrible medical disorder, also in chapter 5, and then a father with a sick daughter. Fear is a part of each of those encounters. But set aside, alongside that theme of fear, is also the idea of faith. So really deeply embedded in the passage before us today is this idea of fear and faith and the interplay, the interaction between them. And I think the two ideas are closely linked, suggesting some relationship. And that's really what we want to explore. What is the relationship between fear and faith? And what can we learn as followers of Jesus today from these encounters? Well, if you look at the first encounter in verse 35 to 41, they record what really probably is Jesus' most impressive miracle so far. Okay, the calming of the storm. Jesus commands the storm to be still. It is a remarkable display of authority. We've seen Jesus demonstrate all kinds of authority so far in Mark's gospel, but this one stands out. I mean, in the Old Testament, you probably know this, God alone is said to rule over the surging seas. He is the one who stills the mounting waves. And so this display of power here on the lake in Lake Galilee confirms that Jesus speaks and acts with divine authority, with the very authority of God. But it's the disciples' reaction and Jesus' response to them that I want to draw your attention to. Now, put yourself in their situation. Understandably, they are afraid. They were, after all, in a raging squall at risk of capsizing, probably unable to swim if they were thrown into the sea. This storm represented a real threat to their lives. But almost surprised, Jesus asks them in verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Just think about those words. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? There we have it, fear and faith. The first kind of grouping of these two things together. According to Jesus, there is a direct relationship between fear and faith. He seems to imply that if they had faith, presumably faith in him, then they wouldn't have been afraid in the midst of that storm. Jesus links their fear with their apparent lack of faith. One thing I find interesting, and you might have picked this up yourself, is that the disciples seem to be more afraid of Jesus after he stills the storm than before the storm. Did you pick that up? In verse 41, once Jesus had calmed the storm, we are told that the disciples were terrified. I mean, they were scared in the boat in the storm, but once he'd calmed the storm, they were terrified, literally afraid with a great fear. "Who is this?" they ask. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." I mean, you've got to wonder, what do they expect? I mean, did they just expect Jesus to get up and take charge of the boat and steer it a steady course through the storm? I mean, Jesus took charge, all right, but in a way that actually blew them away. Pardon the pun. His authority was bigger, it was more awesome than they had imagined. And it terrified them. It really scared them. They still don't realize who Jesus is. If they did, perhaps they wouldn't be so afraid. Well, the fear and the faith theme continues on into chapter 5. So after the traumatic trip across the lake, Jesus and the disciples finally reach the region of the Gerasenes on the eastern shore. I've got a map up there. This is the map we've been working with. So remember, Jesus is up in the northern part of Palestine in Galilee. And they're crossing the lake this time to the eastern shore into Gentile territory, okay, non-Jewish territory. And it's there that Jesus encounters this demon-possessed man that we heard in the reading that Robin read for us. In the previous chapters, we've seen Jesus confront people possessed by demons, but we've not met anyone like this. This is a standout. This man is possessed by an army of demons, a legion of demons. And he is a disturbing and terrifying figure. Not only does he roam among the tombs, wailing and cutting himself, that's frightening in itself, but he also had superhuman strength. No one, we're told, could subdue him. I mean, if you were a member of the local town, this is a figure that would strike fear into your hearts, yeah? But what's really interesting is that it's actually Jesus they end up being more afraid of. Jesus confronts the man, verse 9, chapter 5. "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. Remember, we're in Gentile territory, okay? We're not in Jewish territory. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. I mean, this is a dramatic, extraordinary encounter. Having just demonstrated his power over the forces of nature, he once again displays his power over the forces of darkness. And as we've seen before, the word gets out and the locals come and they check things out for themselves. And to their surprise, the man who had previously terrorized them was sitting there dressed in his right mind, cured, healed. Now a benign kind of character. And what do we read in verse 15? The people were afraid. They were afraid. They weren't angry because of the pigs. I mean, you might have thought that might feature in their mind. No, after all, a man's life had been saved. No, they were afraid. And they were afraid of Jesus. That is who they were afraid of. So afraid, in fact, they begged him to leave. Just like the disciples. The failure to recognize who Jesus was actually left them fearful of him. Here was someone of immense and unparalleled power. But because they didn't know who he was or where his power came from, it terrified them. And you can kind of understand how they felt. But not everyone is afraid. Did you notice? There's one person in this narrative who's not afraid, and that's the man whom Jesus saved. He wasn't afraid. And do you know why? He had faith. He had faith. His faith, I think, is expressed there in his desire to go with Jesus. In fact, he pleads or he begs with Jesus to go with him. It's interesting, just as the locals from the town begged Jesus to go out of their fearfulness, this man begs to go with Jesus out of his faith. It's the same word that's used in the original. And I think it draws attention to the contrast going on here. Perhaps he didn't know exactly who Jesus was. He didn't know he was the Son of God. Very few people in the narrative do at this point. But he knew enough about him not to fear him, not to be afraid of him. He knew enough to actually put his faith in him. And so once again, you have this theme of fear and faith in this encounter. In this one, the absence of faith, which is really a failure to recognize who Jesus is, gives rise to fear. But when you recognize who Jesus is, when you recognize his power and where it comes from and what its purpose is, then what happens to fear? It falls away. Fear subsides. And so, actually, what happens is that faith trumps fear. Faith overcomes fear. And that's demonstrated really powerfully for us in the next two encounters. We didn't read the part of the passage, but we can summarize them. There in verse 21 and following of chapter 5, Jesus crosses the lake again. So we're crisscrossing the lake. We've gone over to the east into Gentile territory and now crossing back to Jesus' hometown of Capernaum. And as the crowds press in on him, two people emerge, two people desperate to approach him. One, a father, a man by the name of Jairus, a local religious leader. His daughter was desperately ill, according to verse 23, dying actually, and he comes to Jesus seeking help. What a desperate situation he was in. The other was a woman with a terrible disorder. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, according to verse 25. Not only had she suffered physically, she was also poor and would no doubt have suffered terrible social isolation. She would have had no husband, no children. She was possibly, depending on what kind of disorder she had, even ritually unclean, couldn't be touched. Here were two people in desperate need. And despite their fears, they come to Jesus, believing, trusting that he can help them, and he does. And again, I want you to notice the link, the strong link between fear and faith. You know, we notice the woman, she pushes through the crowd, and she's seeking to touch Jesus, because she thinks if she can just touch his cloak, then she'll be healed. That was a bold thing for her to do. I mean, she risked, according to the religious thinking of the day, she risked making Jesus unclean, ritually unclean, and she risked a severe reprimand for doing such a thing. When she does touch him, Jesus stops, and he asks in verse 30, "Who touched him? Who touched me?" He noticed power had gone out from him. Imagine that. He's so wired with power that when it goes out of him, he notices it. It's an extraordinary phrase. And the woman, we're told, approaches Jesus, and in verse 33, she is trembling with fear. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She's afraid of what might happen to her, what might be said to her. But of course, Jesus lays her fears to rest. And with just wonderful compassion, Jesus says to her in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Aren't they beautiful words? What compassion, what mercy, what love. In contrast to the disciples, whom Jesus rebukes for lacking faith, Jesus commends this woman for demonstrating it. See the contrast? Faith trumps fear. And so too with Jairus, actually. He's also afraid. We're told that in verse 36 of chapter 5. He's afraid. He just received the news that his daughter had in fact died. I mean, that is devastating news, isn't it? That is the kind of news that would spark terror into the heart of any parent. No parent wants to contemplate that reality. I can't bear to think what that would be like. But seeking to reassure Jairus, Jesus says to him in verse 36, and here's the phrase that nails it, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Now, for many people, death is a fearful prospect. Surveys do regularly show that death is right up there for people when it comes to the things they fear. There's all kinds of reasons for that. But here, even in the face of death, Jesus calls for faith, not fear. That's a remarkable thing. How can you not be fearful in the face of death? It's a question worth pondering. I think the reason's found in what Jesus does next. Verse 41, we read that he took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. That's why Jairus didn't need to fear. Jesus would raise his little girl to life. Jairus didn't know that, but Jesus did. You need not fear death. You need not fear anything if you believe in the one who can raise the dead to life. What is there to fear? And Jesus is the one who does that. And I think that's the thing with all these four encounters. Jesus demonstrates again and again that he has the power, the authority to overcome the things that strike fear into our hearts, whatever it is. He stills the violent storm. He overcomes demonic powers. He heals the sick. He even raises the dead. If you believe in the one who can do all those things, what is there to fear? Faith trumps fear. If you truly believe in Jesus, if you believe that he is the Son of God, if you believe that through him God is making all things new, then there is no need to fear. For Jesus has it in hand. We need not fear climate change, economic uncertainty, pollution, crime, natural disasters. Jesus has it all in hand. Don't be afraid, just believe, he says. Faith is the answer to our fears. Exercising faith is the way to deal with our fears. And of course, I'm not talking about faith in some vague kind of general sense. This is all you've got to do in a crisis is kind of believe that things will turn out right. A lot of people think of faith like that. That's how a lot of people deal with a crisis. No, that's positive thinking. And while that can be good, positive thinking is not a bad thing. It's not any substitute for the kind of faith that Jesus speaks of. Our faith needs an object. It needs someone who is faithful, someone who is powerful, someone in whom to put our faith. And Jesus is that person. He invites us to come and to put our trust, our faith in him, to believe in him as the one who calms the storm and heals the sick and raises the dead. So when I asked you before about your fears, what came to mind? What are you afraid of? What strikes terror into your heart? What are the things that cause that constant low-level fear or anxiety in your life? Well, I think what Jesus says to you today is is don't be afraid, just believe. And that's not a trite statement. Oh, it's okay, yeah, get over it, just believe. No, it's not like that. If you're fearful of rejection, perhaps, then believe in the one who welcomes you, loves you unconditionally. If it's failure you fear, then believe in the one who accepts you regardless of your performance. If you're fearful for your health, then believe in the one who can heal the sick. And if you are fearful of death, as indeed many people in our society are, then believe in the one who conquered death and will one day bring you to life. There are no promises here that faith will lead to a perfect life. We know that. As long as we wait for God's kingdom, there will be crises to face, suffering to endure, distress to undergo. But if our faith is in Christ, then that's going to transform the way we deal with all the things that life throws up, all the circumstances that life throws at us. And by the grace of God, as we continue to trust and as we have faith, might fear subside, might fear diminish. So the next time you find yourself fearful and afraid, what do you need to do? Turn to Jesus and believe. Trust, have faith, look to him, believe in the one who calms the storm and heals the sick and raises the dead and will do that for you one day. Let faith trump your fear. Let's pause for a moment and let's reflect on the Jesus we encounter here in these words in Mark. The extraordinary Jesus, the one who speaks with great authority yet also with great tenderness, the one who terrifies some people but is a wonderful comfort to others. Let's reflect upon him and then let's just, maybe just in the quietness of your own heart, pray, respond to God based on this word that you've heard today, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for Jesus, for his extraordinary power and authority, yet his deep tenderness and compassion. Will you help each one of us as we encounter fears and anxiety in the midst of life's trials? Help us in those moments to turn to Jesus, to trust him. Father, I pray particularly today for anyone who feels a sense of anxiety or fearfulness for whatever reason, that by the power of your Spirit you might bring comfort, that each one here would know the reality of faith trumping fear. And we ask it in Jesus' name.